All right, if you would this morning, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I appreciate somebody bringing me a mint up, a cough drop. I had to eat it quick because I didn't figure I could talk within my mouth. I always think about the fellow that for years always put a mint under his tongue when he started to preach, and it would last exactly 30 minutes. And when the mint was dissolved, he knew it was time to quit preaching. And one Sunday morning, he preached for about 2 hours. And his wife said, "What in the world happened?" He said, "Well, when I reached in my pocket, I got a button instead of the mint." So I don't have a button, but I've got some mints. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 18. "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." There in verse 19, the Apostle Paul said, he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And then he says, on the basis of that, that we are ambassadors for Christ. Now that's what our ministry is all about. And this morning I want to talk to you about the subject of when the Great Commission went out of commission. When the Great Commission went out of commission. You know, most of the religious world today, they base their ministry upon what they call the Great Commission, found in Matthew 28 and Mark 16. The Lord Jesus Christ actually gave 3 commissions to the disciples before he departed and ascended into heaven. We read one of those in Sunday school this morning, but let's go there and look at it again in Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, and these are all significant because of the information they convey. But in Luke 24, Jesus Christ is meeting with the 12. It's interesting that he opened their eyes of understanding to the Scriptures. And he says there in verse 46, "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." What are these things? The repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name beginning at Jerusalem. There were to testify of his death, burial, and resurrection and preach repentance and remission of sins. That's exactly what Peter preached in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Go back to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, in verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And folks, verse 15 through 18 is all one commission. There are those who stop at verse 16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." In other words, they practice what is called baptismal regeneration, but they do not claim the signs that are listed below. As a matter of fact, Bobby Berger, Tammy's mother, Tammy's sitting right back here on the right, came to this church as a result of confronting her preacher about these verses. She asked him one day, she said, "Why is it that we put so much emphasis on verse 16, but we don't believe verse 17 and 18 are to us?" And he said, "Well, that's where you rightly divide the word between the verses." And he said, what you need to do is quit studying your Bible and listen to what is taught here. That's exactly the word she told me. Tammy remembers it. And so she came and visited here with Elaine Carson, and as a result of that, her and Tammy both got saved, and time after that, Bobby passed away. But the fact is, folks, is that people that take verse 16, it's absolutely dishonest not to claim verse 17 and 18. It's all one commission. All one commission. As a matter of fact, all the words are red there. If you like the red letter edition, then 16, 17, 18, all the words of Jesus Christ. The commission. Look back in Matthew 28. Matthew 28. You see, all of this goes to what are we to preach? What commission are we operating under? Well, I'm going to show you today in the Scriptures that the Great Commission went out of commission when the Apostle Paul was saved and given the dispensation of the grace of God, and Paul did not operate under the Great Commission, and neither do you and I, or neither should you and I. We read what our commission is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation, committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation, and we are ambassadors for Christ. We have a commission. But if we don't understand what our commission is, we're going to be operating under the wrong marching order, so to speak. Jesus Christ, in Matthew 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, in case there are people listening to this that are fairly new to the doctrine that we preach and teach here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are books in your Bible that talk about the first coming of Jesus Christ, His life, and His earthly ministry. Each one concludes with His death, burial, and resurrection, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke conclude with these commissions given to the 11, which later become 12 in Acts chapter 1 again. But this commission is given to them to carry out, and it all goes back to Matthew 24, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. Listen, regardless of what anybody says, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is kingdom doctrine that pertains to the nation Israel according to the prophetic program and has nothing to do with the mystery given to the Apostle Paul. Once you get past that, you get into the book of Acts, you see the salvation of Paul. After Acts 15, you never even see Peter mentioned again. And the next 13 books in your Bible are Romans through Philemon, the words given by the Lord Jesus Christ to and through the Apostle Paul. The last books in your Bible are Hebrews through Revelation, which are Hebrew epistles that go about explaining how a person is to survive and operate during the tribulation and an explanation of why that kingdom has not come yet that he promised that would come. Now, with that in mind, let's look at this commission. Jesus came, verse 18, and spake unto them, the audience is the 11, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, the interesting thing is, what are they to teach? They're to teach all nations. So number one, we see that the recipients of this commission are the 11. Matthias becomes the 12th, and in Sunday school we covered the fact that Paul could not have been one of those 12, as sometimes people teach, that Paul just took the place of Matthias or Judas. But we saw that could not be, because it had to be somebody that accompanied with them, or accompanied with the Lord all the time that he went in and out among them. So Paul would not qualify. So the recipients of this commission are the 12, because Matthias had to be there when these words were spoken based on Acts chapter 1.
He's speaking directly to the 11, but others no doubt must have heard this. Anyway, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. So the message is to the nations. It's interesting that in Paul's epistles, he never mentions about anything about nations in relation to our ministry. He goes on to say, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. So we see that this commission cannot, it absolutely, if you just believe the words on the page, it absolutely cannot be the commission that Paul is following. How do I know that? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now I want to ask you a question. I'm going to read it again. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Did the commission include an instruction to baptize people? Y'all go like this, so I know you're awake. Say amen, yes, hallelujah. Yes, yes. He did. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. That's not an option. It's not something that you do if you want to give a testimony of your salvation. That is a command. And it's a very specific command for a very specific reason. They were told to go baptizing them. We read over in Mark chapter 16 that he said, those that believe and are baptized. Well, in Mark chapter 16, let me just read it again for you there. You don't need to turn there. In Mark 16, he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Then baptism was part of that commission. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, or verse 16. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. So I will acknowledge, because I know what people, you know, they always throw it up. Well, Paul baptized. But notice the next verse. For Christ sent me not to baptize. Could the 12 ever have said that and been telling the truth? They couldn't. Because we just read there where he said, go and baptize. And those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. And Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. They're two different commissions, folks. Paul was sent forth with the gospel of the grace of God. And yes, because of what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, I became all things to all men. Paul baptized some people. There's no doubt about that. He said he did. But he said he was not sent to baptize, and that's in contrast to the 12 that were sent to baptize. All right, so the message then, back in Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So the commission included water baptism, as is pointed out in Mark 16 as well, and Acts 2:38. But the next thing he says there in verse 20, and this is the one that I always think about in relation to people that say they're keeping the Great Commission. I mean, I've had some heated discussions with people. One young man in particular, I told him, I said, you're not carrying out the Great Commission. Oh, yes, we are. We've sent missionaries all over the world. We believe that when they get saved, they ought to be baptized. And I said, okay. Is that all the commission? No. Well, listen to verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Did Jesus Christ command them to sell what they have? Yes, he did. Did they do it? Yes, they did. Look back in Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew 23. In verse 1. Matthew 23, 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Now what, folks? Here again, you just can't get around the words meaning what they say. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Well, what do you suppose the scribes and the Pharisees who sit in the Moses seat would be teaching? I'd say the law of Moses. As a matter of fact, I know that's what they taught. And Jesus said, I don't want you to follow their works, because what the Pharisees had done, they had taken the law and they had created a separate set of laws to dictate how you kept the law of Moses. You remember the passage where they confront Jesus Christ about his disciples eating with unwashed hands? Well, there was nothing in the law about having to wash your hands to eat. And you know what he told them? He said, you do teach for as doctrine the commandments of men. So he was not teaching them to follow the Pharisaical system. What he was teaching them was to follow the teachings that they were teaching in relation to the law of Moses. He said, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. Well then, when he told them in Matthew 28, just five chapters later, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, wouldn't that include the law of Moses? It certainly would. Wouldn't that include go and sell what you have and give alms to the poor? Take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, drink, or put on? All of those things, folks, are things that Jesus... Start back in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Look in Matthew chapter 6. Whatsoever you ask, you shall have. Any two of you agree on any touching one thing, you shall have it. Teach those things. And part of the Great Commission then was teaching what Christ had taught them. Now, I understand that there are many things in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that are very viable and good teachings that we can apply in the dispensation of the grace of God. There are many applications you can make. But the doctrine specifically, you see, every passage of Scripture really has three applications, if you will. There's the historical application, there's the doctrinal application, and then there's the spiritual application. Many of the truths in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we can make a spiritual application to us today. But there are some very specific things that are taught for people to do in a very real way that we don't do because they're not instructions for the church, the body of Christ. Now, people are taught many times to do those things. And generally when they are, it's taught in a manner or taught for the purpose of trying to control people and get them to be in bondage to some kind of system. The Great Commission included going into all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature, baptizing them, and then he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, it was given then to the 12. It was, the message was repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. According to Luke chapter 24, repentance and remission of sins shall be preached. And he said in Matthew 24, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. Well, you see, I was taught as a young man for many years that that was the purpose of carrying out the Great Commission, because the end couldn't come until the gospel had gone into all the world. Well, there's nothing wrong with sending out missionaries. There's nothing wrong. You want to make an application? Go ye therefore, teaching all nations, preach the gospel of the grace of God. Sure, we're to do that. We're to go out into all the world. But we don't do it for the purpose of trying to get the kingdom to come in upon this earth, because that is not our hope. That is not our destiny. That is not our inheritance. Our inheritance is far above all heavens. So there was the people it was committed to. There was the message it was to be preached. And then there was the origin or the place that it was to be done. Look again, if you will, in Luke chapter 24 and get also Acts chapter 1. In Luke 24, notice what he said there in verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Where? Beginning at Jerusalem. Beginning at Jerusalem. Look over in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So there was a specific order or origin of this gospel of the kingdom being preached. Where did it start? It started at Jerusalem. Here is the plan of God, and I'm not going to turn to all the verses because we just wouldn't have time. But in God's prophetic program, that is, that which God prophesied, salvation was going to be offered to the world, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But it was going to be offered through the nation Israel. There was never a time when God excluded people from salvation except for the fact that they rebelled. Like those that hated Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise and so forth. That wasn't God's fault, it was their fault. But anyway, let me just lay this out as simply as I can. God's program, when He saved Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, was to bring salvation. But Israel was to be the instrument whereby that salvation would be brought. That salvation would come to a culmination in the new covenant being established with the nation Israel, according to Jeremiah 31:31. The Lord Jesus Christ would return from heaven, sit upon the throne of David, and rule on the earth for 1,000 years. They thought, they being Israel, those that understood, like in Luke chapter 1, John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, he believed that when the Messiah came, that that's exactly what was going to happen. They didn't understand about the death, burial, and resurrection. That's why in Matthew 16, when Jesus says, I'm going to be put to death, Peter says, he rebukes him and says, be it far from thee. They're expecting a king to rule and reign. But instead of ruling and reigning, what happens is that king ends up being put to death. Thus you find in Matthew 19, Peter asks the question. He says, Lord, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And he said, when the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of His glory, you're going to sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. We're talking about, folks, a literal physical kingdom upon this earth with Christ ruling and reigning. 12 tribes, when the nation Israel would go out and as a kingdom of priests and preach salvation to the entire world, and the Great Commission would be fulfilled. Thus he says you're to start at Jerusalem. Now I know that people say, they look at Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and they say, well, Chattanooga's Jerusalem and Hamilton County's Judea and the rest of the world, Samaria. Well, folks, Chattanooga ain't Jerusalem and Hamilton County ain't Judea. There was a reason for this. The children must first be fed. And when the nation Israel did not repent and turn to God in Acts chapter 2, there were thousands that did, but the nation as a whole did not. By Acts chapter 8, we find because of the persecution, what's happened to the Jews? Those believing Jews are scattered. They have to get out because of the persecution. The 12 remain for a short time, and then they're scattered. But the point is that God's program of bringing in the kingdom was not fulfilled because the nation Israel rejected. In Acts chapter 7, they stoned Stephen. And so God, 2 chapters later in Acts 9, saves the apostle Paul. And he gives Paul the revelation of the mystery. So, listen folks, those that truly want to follow the Great Commission, I guess they need to be in Jerusalem. Because that's part of it. Repentance and remission of sin should be preached in Jerusalem. Until the nation of Israel is saved, that ministry is not complete. Why, did you ever stop and wonder why Peter, operating under this commission to go to all nations, when Cornelius says, how about coming down to my house, a Gentile, and preach to me and my household here? Peter said, it is an unlawful thing for me to go to a man of another nation. Now how could he say that when God told him, the Lord Jesus Christ told him, go into all the world? Because there had to be an order that had to be fulfilled. The children must first be fed. The Jews were to be God's kingdom of priests. Said so in Acts 19. Said so in 1 Peter chapter 1. He said, you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And that priesthood was to go out and carry out this great commission. That was according to prophecy. But when God saved the Apostle Paul, the origin changed. So as today, you know where you're to start? Right where you are. Right where you are. Wherever you have the opportunity to open your mouth and make known the gospel of the grace of God, do so. You know, I've seen people over the years, and I understand where they're coming from, but I've seen people debate and labor about, I'm talking about primarily men that are going to preach, about where the Lord wants them and what they ought to be doing here and where they ought to be going there and so forth. Well, you know the best thing to do? Just start where you are. Start where you are. You want to preach? You want to teach somebody? You can find somebody to talk to. You can get out. You can find somebody to preach to. You see, the point is, folks, is that we're not under any kind of command to start at a specific place and once they're saved, go out from there and then here. And then, you know, I heard a man one time, he said, he was following his commission. He said, my neighborhood is Jerusalem. And he said, I'm not going to witness to anybody else till I get through with this neighborhood. Well, I said, you ain't never going to get through with that neighborhood. You're not under the law. You're not under any kind of bondage. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're His representatives. We have no place where we have to, no where place the ministry has to originate other than just right where we are. Preach, teach, be a witness, be a testimony, wherever you are. The time of this commission. You know when it's going to be fulfilled? It's going to be fulfilled during the tribulation. Matthew 24:14, when he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. You know where he is? Well, let's just turn back there and look at it, because it's very clear when all this is taking place. In Matthew 24, Matthew 24:1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, Say ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. He begins to give them all the things that are going to be occurring during that time. Look in verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end of the tribulation, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. That's referring to the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, the tribulation period. So I know the context of this gospel being preached in all the world is the tribulation period. And that's what Matthew 28 and Mark 16 is about. And let me tell you something, folks. We ain't going to be preaching during the tribulation period because we're not going to be here. We're going to be gone. And I know today there's a lot of grace preachers that have gotten into this stuff about the church going through the tribulation. Well, to me, that's just hogwash. I mean, what did Paul say when he started talking about the rapture? He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Then it's mystery information that had nothing to do with the nation of Israel. And they go back there and they'll take the trumps and try to make the trumps that Paul talked about the same trumps as over there in Revelation, the last trump. Well, Paul mentions two trumps when he talks about us being caught up. He said one's going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise. Another's going to sound and we which are alive and remain are going to go up. How many is that? That's two trumps. The first and the last. That's not hard. The last trump Paul talks about has nothing to do with prophecy. Why? He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Besides that, what would we be preaching if we were here during the tribulation? We going to have to change gospels? Could we operate under Galatians chapter 1 if we were here during the tribulation? He said, "If any man preach any other gospel than that which I preached unto you, let him be accursed." If we preach the gospel that he said was going to be preached during the tribulation, we'd be accursed. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get on that rant. I won't charge any extra for that. Folks, the origin is Jerusalem. The time is a tribulation. And they're operating under an endowment of power from on high. So that he said, "Take no thought for what you're going to say when you stand before magistrates." He said, "You have an unction from on high." Well, Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." You see, we don't have the promises and the power and so forth of Mark chapter 16. Look back there again. Mark chapter 16. And by the way, rightly dividing the word of truth is not dividing between verse 16 and 17. Verse 15, Mark 16, 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that is baptized, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Well, just think about all the churches you know about. Some of you probably just came out of a church recently that said they were preaching the Great Commission. Well, let me ask you, do they believe that they can cast out devils? Do they speak with new tongues? Do they take up serpents? Do they drink any deadly thing and it not hurt them? Do they lay hands on the sick and they recover? You know, it's always amazed me that these men, shysters, that claim to have this healing ministry are out there in a tent somewhere or an auditorium or a church building. And I go down to Park Ridge and Memorial and Erlanger and walk the halls and see people moaning and groaning in their bed. And I ain't never seen nobody down there healing anybody. Never one time. Every time I get to hurting, I say, "Where is Benny Hinn when you need him?" You don't have that power, folks. But those that carried out that Great Commission sure did. And they will in the future. So the recipients, it's the 12, it's not us. The message, it's repent and be baptized. It's faith in His name. It's keep the law. The place of origin is Jerusalem. And they were not to leave there until Jerusalem was converted. The time of this commission is the tribulation. And the power associated with it was the power of God operating in those people supernaturally to carry out all of these gifts of speaking in tongues, casting out devils, taking up serpents, drinking any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt them, and laying hands on the sick, and they recovered. That's the Great Commission. So when did that Great Commission go out of commission? Well, it went out of commission when Israel fell, when there was no longer Israel, and when God began His ministry with the Apostle Paul and brought in the church, the body of Christ, and while Paul still had some of those gifts, Paul never operated under this commission. You know how I know that? Because he said, "I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. Paul never went about. Listen, Paul went into the synagogues. Paul preached to Jews every opportunity he had, but he never preached to Jews with the idea of bringing in a national salvation of the whole nation. It was individuals. And you know that by Romans 9, 10, and 11. He said, I could wish myself accursed for my kinsmen according to the flesh. And yet writes two chapters over and says, all Israel shall be saved as it is written. You know what Paul's dilemma was? He wanted his brethren to be saved. But God had revealed unto him that there had been a change in plans. There had been a change in the program. And he wasn't going to save the nation of Israel at that time. Instead, he was operating on the basis of grace. And the door of salvation, through the message given to Paul, had been opened to all men. And so the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we started out. Go back there with me if you will. And notice the difference. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us, the body of Christ, the ministry of reconciliation. Now, doesn't that sound completely different from Mark 16? These signs shall follow them that believe. Part of their ministry was casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, they'll recover. All those things. Paul says he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You see, folks, the sad truth is today that most churches out there and most religions are simply trying to do things to enhance people's experience in the flesh rather than simply telling them, listen, you've been reconciled to God. The ministry of reconciliation is that wonderful and glorious message that simply says, God's not angry with you. He sent his son 2,000 years ago. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He's given unto us that ministry of reconciliation. And committed unto us, verse 19, last part, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Folks, I know many people follow the Great Commission out of ignorance and claim the Great Commission out of ignorance. They just don't understand. But I want to tell you something. You can't follow the commission of Matthew 28, Mark 16, and Luke 24. I said you can't follow it as it is laid out there and at the same time preach the gospel of the grace of God. You can't do it. Now you can say you're keep doing it and preach the gospel of the grace of God, but when you teach people to observe all the things that Christ taught the disciples to observe, that is in direct conflict with the gospel of the grace of God. Because that's teaching the law. The Great Commission is no longer in commission today. We have a greater commission. We, as members of the body of Christ, are His ambassadors, preaching this word of reconciliation, carrying out this ministry of reconciliation with the sole purpose of helping people to see that Christ died for their sins, was buried and rose again the third day, helping them to see that their sin is not the issue, it's been taken care of, helping them to see that they are a member of the body of Christ by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something, folks. That commission that God gave them was a great commission. But I'm going to tell you something. Ours is even greater. The ministry of reconciliation. Preaching that ministry. You see, the ministry of the 12 included that message of wrath that was coming. Even upon those that... You see, in the tribulation, those that endure unto the end shall be saved. Even the saved are suffering the effects of the tribulation. Not so with you and I. The Bible says we have been delivered from the wrath to come. Delivered. Why? Because we have that ministry of reconciliation and we're ambassadors for Christ. If you're an ambassador, you want to be a good ambassador. You want to be one that represents the one that sent you in a manner that is pleasing to Him and proclaim what He says proclaim. I'm going to tell you something. If an ambassador from a country goes to another land and he projects and proclaims his philosophy over the philosophy of the one that sent him, he won't function there very long. He is an ambassador for the one that sent him. We're ambassadors for Christ. Therefore, it behooves us to preach the doctrine and the truth committed to us through our apostle, the Apostle Paul. Would you stand with me for prayer?